We know from the Gospels as a whole that Jesus' ministry is one of constantly being for and working on behalf of people. That Christ reveals that the nature of God is one of welcome and healing, compassion, relationship, and restoration. And so we might find our Gospel from Mark this morning just a little bit disconcerting. It might throw us off our edge a little bit, as it seems that Jesus is speaking these words of condemnation. But I think as we engage this text, we're mistaking ourselves. If we read this passage and ignore the difference between marriage and divorce and social system, between Jesus and his context and time and us in our own. It was the nature of the day that women were treated like property in Jesus' community. And this left them very vulnerable. They were reliant on their fathers, their husbands, their sons to be able to provide for them. And so when we have Jesus here speaking out these words and saying that Moses may have given you this way or this means of divorce, but that it's not part of God's intention, he's speaking very directly to this power dynamic at play in his community, saying, you can't just write a certificate that allows you to ignore the needs of those around you, to turn a blind eye and say, I've followed the letter of the law, and so I don't have to have care or compassion for this person or these people who depend on me. The gospel reveals how Jesus is always for people, but we also see how Jesus is continually against actions or practice that allow the powerful to take advantage of the vulnerable. Practices or actions that allow someone to view someone else as an object for their own pleasure or for their own gain. That cultures that say, or practices that would say, that someone's value in society is only by how they can contribute, what they please a person. Anything that creates this separation or dehumanization. Jesus continually stands on the side of the vulnerable, of those that society says are worthless, are without value. And so it's important to hear that that's part of what's going on here in this passage. But I think it's also valuable to hear because it does continue to be a passage that calls out into our own context and demands answering, to recognize that when Jesus gives these examples to his disciples, names them adultery, that he's describing this reality that when someone divorces their spouse in order to marry another person, that they're creating separation. That when we talk about adultery or sin in general, sinfulness, that it's describing the separation between us and God, or the separation that distances us from other people, keeps us from seeing their inherent worth and value. And so divorce, remarriage in this instance that he names, will indeed create separation for those individuals and for all the people that are part of that web and community of relationships. And this is not to say that divorce isn't sometimes the least bad option on the table, even if it's something that isn't as God would desire it or isn't part of what God would intend. And I think it may be helpful to kind of think, to like get a hold of that, to consider open heart surgery. Any given day of the week, really, ideally, you would not have someone cut a hole in your chest and start like reaching around in there and messing with stuff. Because even in the best of instances, even in the most necessary cases, there is going to be a lot of recovery and healing that's necessary in the aftermath, in the wake of that. And yet, even though you would never wish that on a person, that you would hope that would never be necessary, sometimes that level of surgical intervention is the only thing that allows healing to take place, that makes a path forward. And so even in the midst of this description of events, I'm not surprised to hear Jesus say that this isn't what God desires for anyone to have to go through. That this is never part of God's design or intention or plan if all things were as they should be. For God desires us to live in community with one another, to have healthy relationships that foster love and faithfulness and community and care and compassion, regardless of whether or not society says that someone is valuable or that they are pleasing because of who they are or what they've done. That God wants all people to share together in the kingdom of God and the promise of abundant life. And I think we get a snapshot of that in our gospel reading for this morning when we hear about the children that seek to draw close to Jesus and Jesus' disciples try and stop them. Because again, within the context of his day, children were not given much status or worth. And so the disciples were like, don't waste our teacher's time. Get out of here, you little kids. But Jesus calls them out. He says, hey, don't hinder them. Let the children come unto me. For to such as these ones who are most vulnerable and dependent, who society says are worthless and are not important, that the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. That God cares for them, that God welcomes them just as much as anyone else. And I think that Jesus has these two examples held up. You know, Mark offers them as a comparison between the Pharisees and the disciples and the children coming before Jesus. Because you have these leaders who are essentially asking for Jesus, testing him about his opinion on the law as a way to show their righteousness, how they've properly followed, properly done what the law commands, what it says. And Jesus turns things on its head. That he says that even if you're following policy and procedure to the proper letter of the law, that you're not going to hit God's will and intention. That none of us, by our own merits, by our own hard work, by our own efforts, are ever going to be able to stand before God and say, we are righteous because we have jumped every hoop and dotted every I and crossed every T. You can't do it. And Jesus didn't come because just a handful of people needed an extra boost in order to get caught up with everyone, or because just a handful of people needed a word of correction in order to fall in line. Jesus came because we've all sinned and fallen short. Because we all are in need of a Savior. Jesus came for us, so that we may each be covered in the grace and mercy and righteousness of Christ. And so as people claimed by the blood and welcomed into the body of Christ, we get this sacred opportunity to share Jesus with people, to welcome folks to the table, to community, to family, to our midst, to say that God loves you, God welcomes you, even if the rest of society has pushed you aside, has said that you are not of value, that you are without worth, that you are unimportant, that God has made you, that God has claimed you, and that you have a place here. For our God is a God of relationships, of community, of restoration and healing. And there is nothing that anyone can do that can separate people in this world, the children of God, from the love that God has for them. Amen.